Proverbs series number 2, for youth, teens, and inmates. Now, why do I include inmates? We serve a lot of people who are incarcerated. We have probably sent out of the New Testaments well over 2,000 free. All they do is write to York Publishing, and we send it to them. And we're happy to do so because when they were in their youth and teens, they made mistakes which put them where they are. And so the book of Proverbs is very important for us to understand, very important for youths and teens. Now, just because we have a few here, don't think I'm picking on you. We have many more in other areas. Okay. And we're also trying to develop the things so as more people come into contact with us, we will have information to pass on to them as well. Now, let me read you some things in the book of Proverbs, and this is where we start out every time, because we need to really know this and memorize this. Okay? So let's come to Proverbs 4, page 775. Now, just because this is directed directly for youth, teens, and inmates, and for those of you who are not incarcerated, don't think we're picking on you. But this is also for every single one of us. Proverbs 4, verse 23. Above all, guard the door of your mind with diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And this becomes very important for the rest of your life. Because when you start reaching the teen years, today it probably starts at 11 or 12 because of the accelerated learning and things that's available today. Your minds are developing. See, up to this point, the prefrontal cortex, or the thinking part of your brain, has not really developed to the full. From the time that you are 11, 12, up to the time you're 25 or 26, this part of your brain is developing and growing, and you are, by your choices, wiring your brain for the future. That's important to understand. They've also found this, that when you have made mistakes, it registers in your brain as well. That's why this warning. So guard the door of your mind. Don't let things into your mind which should not be there. And today, what do we have? We've got everywhere to distract you. Everything. Publications, media, music, entertainment, games, school, other kids. And we'll talk about that a little later. But remember, if you want to think of it this way, you can write this down. I only have one brain. Okay? I only have one brain. God holds me responsible for it. What am I going to do? So today we'll cover that. Because as a youth and teen, you're entering into a point of life that is very critical. And if all adults would be honest, they would tell you that when they were growing up during that time, is when they made some of the worst mistakes in their lives. So what this is for, this is to help you see what God has placed before you. And this is not to run your life or tell you what to do, but set before you, let you know the choices that God has given. You have to make the choice. And know this for sure. According to your choices, you will be blessed or you will be cursed, and cursed comes in the form of difficulties. So we'll see this. Now, verse 24. Put away from you a wicked mouth, and devious lips put far from you. Now you see, all human beings have a deceitful nature. And for the youth and teens, you begin to see for the first time that your parents are not always right. And so what happens is, the way we justify things that are not right is to say, well, he was wrong, and he was wrong, and she was wrong, and she was wrong. Therefore, their wrong justifies me also to do wrong. But that's not the truth. Let's come back here to Deuteronomy 30. Let's see the choice that everyone is confronted with your whole life long. And it's in particularly true when your brain, your prefrontal cortex, is starting to develop and you're beginning to think more like an adult. But I don't think very many people will tell you that it's going to take you 10 or 12 years for all of this to develop. See, so God has given His Word so that you are not going to destroy your life. Now, here in Deuteronomy 30 and verse 15, He laid it out to all of Israel. All Israel. And this is for all human beings. No one is exempt from this, whether in the world, whether in the church, regardless of where you live, regardless of who you are. Here's what God has set before them. Verse 15, Behold, I have set before you this day life and good. And that's what everyone wants, isn't it? Everyone wants life. Everyone wants good. Yes. Death and evil. Well, let's talk about death and evil here for a minute. When do most teenagers die, and from what cause or causes? The root cause is what? Suicide may be the root cause. And why suicide? Glad you brought up suicide. Okay, why? Because they've given themselves over to evil. And where did it start? Where did it start? No. Where did it start to influence their mind? Okay. Now, not all children, teenagers, youth, and so forth will react in exactly the same way. Each one is going to react in a different way. But where did it start? Not when they were teens, but when they were 3, 4, and 5. And what is it that programmed their minds in a wrong way, but seemed good? And not really realizing what was happening. Today, with the communication we have, it begins with children's video programs, cartoons. Wonderful Mickey Mouse, Bugs Bunny, Daffy Duck. Well, today, if you watch the cartoons, they're all very demonic, aren't they? See? Why? Because the society and parents have allowed those kind of evils to come into the home. And those affect the minds. Then they go to school, and as they progress through school, and especially with the sex education that they have, and when they get into teens and get into teen music. Oh, it's for teens. Why is it for teens? To make you rebel. So if anyone has a rebellious problem, especially the youth, but a lot of people grown up on this music and they can't stand not to have music going. I mean, their minds have been so programmed to have something going on, they can't stand 5 minutes of silence. And they've never learned how to think. See. But if anyone out there has any problem with rebellion, ask yourself, what am I listening to? What am I watching? And how is it affecting me? Because it goes right into your brain, right? Just like a commercial. Have you ever had a commercial tune go through your head and you can't get rid of it? Yes. And you really don't want it? Yes. Well, these are some of the things that now, as a young person, and also parents for your children, you're going to have to sit down and evaluate it, and you make your choices. See? Is it good for the children to watch all the destruction and death and mayhem and all of the occult cartoons that they have today? And as you watch those things, and if you go out to a movie today, what is it all about? Death, destruction, sex, misery, and all of that, correct? So if you watch those things, ask yourself, what does it do to me? How is it programming my brain? How is it affecting my thinking? So you're going to have to ask that, all right? Because set before you life and good, death and evil. Now here's God's command. And always remember this. When you rebel against the word of God, you're rebelling against God. And also remember this. God loves you, and God has given all of his commandments so that it can go well with you. Do you want your life to go well? Do you want things to work out for you? Yes, indeed. Well, you have a part in doing that. God is not going to do it all for you. He didn't create you to become just a robot and a glob. He created you to be a son or daughter of God and eventually receive eternal life. And now you can have an opportunity to learn some of the things that you need to learn, which your parents probably didn't learn. So maybe you can help your children along those lines. So he says here, in that I command you this day to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways. And as we found in the first one on the youth series in Proverbs, stay away from the gangs and stay away from the group. They want to get you to conform to what they want. So ask yourself the question, what is it that they want you to conform to? Because you have to decide that. You go to school, your parents aren't there. They can't make the decision for you, right? You have to make the decision. To love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments and statutes and his judgments, so that you may live. That's what God wants. He wants you to live. This has nothing to do with salvation yet. This has to do with living your life so you can come to the point in your life so you can understand God enough so you can repent and be baptized, and then you're on the road to salvation. But this is an all preparation for it. And multiply. And the Lord your God shall bless you. Do you want the blessings of God? Let's put it another way. Do you want everything to go pretty well for you? Do you want favor if you're looking for a job? Do you want God to protect you when you're out and about? See, the other major cause of death of teenagers is not just suicide, but it's car accidents, drunkenness, drugs. All those temptations are out there. And all those temptations come around when you're not with your parents, correct? Now, some, unfortunately, in the world live with parents who have been drug addicts and adulterators and fornicators and so forth, liars and cheats and thieves. And many of them have seen their parents do that, and they've seen that bad example, and he said, no, I don't want any of that in my life. And so they don't do those things by choice without necessarily having anything to do with the Word of God. But then on the other hand, it works the other way. When parents are trying to do right and teach their children to do the right thing, then the children go the other way and end up wanting to do evil things. So this is what confronts the youth around the world today. Not just those who hear what I preach, but that's the way it is in the world. What we're covering thing here are universal laws that functioned all the time in the lives of everyone, young and old, in every generation from Adam and Eve until the last human is in existence. So he says, to bless you in the land where you go to possess it, or in your life where you go out on your own. See? There's going to come a time when you're going to have to be on your own. Are you preparing now so you'll know how to work? How to be honest? How to be on time? How to do what is right? How to think what is right? Keep yourself from being in trouble? All of those are very important, see? And all of us as adults have to do the same thing. Isn't that correct? Yes, indeed. Every day is another day. Every day is confronted with new choices. Verse 17, but if your heart turn away so that you will not hear, that is, be rebellious, but you'll be drawn away. Now, you can be drawn away by friends, by neighbors, by a girlfriend, by a boyfriend. And the book of Proverbs talks about all these things. We'll cover them a little later here. And worship other gods and serve them, and that's what has happened in the world. That's why the world is evil in the way it is today. God says, I denounce to you this day that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land where you pass over Jordan to possess it. And ask yourself a question. Did not everything that God said to them when they left God, did it not happen to them? Did they not also in their own minds think, oh, well, that won't happen to us. We're smart and wise. But it still happened, didn't it? Yes, indeed. So those are the things, you see, that confronts all of us, but especially for the youth and the teens and the inmates. All the inmates need to reprogram their minds with the Word of God and the book of Proverbs. Because you messed up when you were younger. So when you get out, you won't come back. That's why we send the New Testament and the Bibles I got a nice letter from an inmate who received the New Testament, finally got his life squared around. And you know, he said, I'm thankful for it that I've got my life straightened around. And he said, the only regret I have is that I didn't pay attention when I was young. And now, rather than building my life while I'm young and have an opportunity to do so, I've got to regroup at 40 from all of my mistakes. But he said, I'm well on the way. I'm glad I am out, and I'm going to stick to the straight and narrow. So that was a very nice letter to get, see. All right. Verse 19. So we can all pay attention to this. So I'll try and pick on everybody today. And myself, see. Because there's also something that is true that Paul said. He said this to the Jews who claimed to have the law and so forth. He said, you that teach others, don't you teach yourself. See? And the worst thing in the world is to have someone who's teaching others to not teach him or herself and to go astray. So here's how sure it is, verse 19. I call heaven and earth. Now you think about this. You're going off to school in the morning, and you look out there, and you see the earth. Maybe you're going to catch a bus. Maybe you're going to get a ride. However you get to school, maybe your parents are going to take you. And you look up, and you see the sky, and you see the earth. And you know that the law of gravity is holding you on the earth. Those laws are working all the time. Well, also know this. Every time you look at the sky and see it, and every time you look at the earth and see it, that is God's witness to you that His Word is true. And so that you can choose what is right and do what is good. And I'll tell you this, the more that you understand and find out about the creation of God, the more in awe you will be. I recently saw one on the History Channel about the sun and what it does. Absolutely mind-blowing. I have to see if I can get that and let you see it here at church. I just sat there with my mouth open, my jaw hanging down, and thinking, oh, how utterly vain and stupid we all are as human beings. We walk out, and here's the sun and the earth and everything out there. Look at the sun. Oh, it's a nice sunny day. Don't even know what it's for, what it's doing. That's amazing. So remember, that's a witness for all of us. So he says, I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing, therefore choose life, so that both you and your seed may live. God wants you to live. Eh? Now, I don't know in the school where you go to, but have there been accidents where kids have been killed? Die from drinking? Die from drugs? Murdered? Suicide? What a waste of life. They were never taught what you're hearing. See, this is very important. Likewise with all of us. This is to help us not do sinful, stupid things as adults. Here's the purpose, verse 20. That you may love the Lord your God, and may obey His voice, and may cleave to Him, for He is your life and the length of your days. God gives life to everyone. And now as you're growing up, your life is in your hands before God. So there we go. so that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob, to give to them. All right, now let's come to Genesis 3 here for just a minute. Genesis 3. And in translating this, I went over this quite thoroughly with Michael Heiss. He happens to be out of town today, not able to be here. But he said that this is the correct translation. Genesis 3, page 122. Now let's understand something about how Satan the devil works. Go to 121. Verse 1. Now the serpent was more cunning than any creature of the field which the Lord God had made, and he said to the woman, "Is it true that God has said, you shall not eat of any trees of the garden?" Of course he knows it's not true, right? Now let's also understand something that's very interesting. Notice the tactic. Satan always says, God is evil. God is against you. And God knows better, because he's cheating you. Now Satan says, I have a better way. Choose. You can decide for yourself what's right and wrong. And that's the essential meaning here in Genesis 3. Let's read it. And the woman said to the serpent, we may freely eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. So she knew right from wrong, right? But of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God indeed said, has indeed said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. So the last part of that was probably additional training that God taught them. And the serpent said to the woman, in dying you shall not surely die. Saying, well, if you do die, you're really not going to be dead. And the serpent said to the woman, in dying you shall not surely die, for God knows. I know better. And I'm telling you that God knows he's cheating you. I'm telling you that this is a better way to go. I'm telling you that as a free moral agent, you can choose what's right and wrong yourself. You decide what is good and what is evil. You don't have to listen to God. You don't have to listen to the commandments. You don't have to listen to the Bible. You don't have to listen to a preacher. Hopefully he's teaching the right thing. Okay? For God knows that in the day that you eat of it, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be like God, deciding good and evil, not knowing good and evil. Does God know more about good and evil than we do? Of course. So the whole sense of it is, they took to themselves to decide what was good and evil, what was right and wrong. And this is the danger when you're coming into your teens and a youth, maybe even sooner. You say your parents are wrong, or the authorities are wrong, because I want to do thus and such or thus and so. Your friends, who may not be your friends, and you may have to reevaluate who your friends are. See? They may not know any better. They may be out there having fun with all of the parties and all of the games and all of the things that they do wrong and so forth, and they think this is right. And as you get older, and as you say, get to your late teens and your early 20s, and between that time and getting up into there, we'll talk about a little later, there's always sex involved somewhere along the line. Is that not true? Yes, indeed. Deciding good and evil. So you know the rest of the story. They ate of it, and what happened? The penalty for sin came upon them right away, didn't it? They were kicked out of the garden, lost contact with God, and they were doomed to death and returned to dust and ashes. All right. Let's come back here to Ecclesiastes 11. Ecclesiastes 11, page 841 and verse 8. But if a man lives many years and rejoices in all of them, yet let him remember the days of darkness, that is, the difficulties that he has gone through, for they shall be many. So you're going to have many challenges in life. All that comes to vanity. So here's what God commands. Rejoice in your youth. Be happy that you are young. Now, wherever you go and look around and all you see are old people, remember they were all young once. But there's something that happens in our minds as kids growing up. We never think that we're going to get old. And we never think that our parents were babies once, little children. And the reason is, unless you have a picture of it, you can't imagine what they were like as kids. Eh? But they were. So he says, rejoice in your youth, O young man, and we can put there, O young woman, as well, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart, and in the sight of your eyes, you have to choose, guard your heart. But know that in all these things, God will bring you into judgment. Everything you do. Therefore, remove vexation from your heart, and put away evil from your flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. Meaning that when you get older, you're going to look back in your life and you're going to say, I did that? I did those stupid things? Yes. Hey, growing up, I did stupid things. See, but you look at me and you think, you grew up? Yes. Okay? I was never perpetually an adult. Okay? Now, let's come back here to the book of Proverbs, and we'll look at some Proverbs. Book of Proverbs. Let's come to Proverbs 14 and verse 12. This is one everyone needs to memorize for life. Those of us who have been in the church a long time, we probably have already memorized it. All right, Proverbs 14 and verse 12, page 781. Now, here's what to remember. There is a way that seems right. See? Think about that. Just because it seems right doesn't necessarily mean that it is good. You have to know that it is good and right before you do it. But the end thereof are the ways of death. Let me think. That's the way it is. Now, if you have an opportunity to... Now, as we are going through these things, I'm sure that all of us who have gray hair and have spent many years, we can look back in our lives and we can see how many things happened to us because we did not listen to our parents. And we didn't follow God, and likewise didn't know God. So just think of the advantage that all of those who are young have, where they have an opportunity to know God. All right, let's go on. Now let's continue on in Proverbs 19. Let's pick it up here in verse 20. Proverbs 19 and verse 20. Hear advice and receive instruction, so that you may be wise in your latter end. Now, when the Korean War was on, before they signed the armistice, I was so smart that I joined the regular army instead of volunteering for the draft, and I served 3 years instead of two. Yes. So, when we got down to Fort Ord, I was living in Seattle and they flew us down to Fort Ord and got into Fort Ord. And you have your orientation meeting with all the new recruits, newly shaved on the head, you know. Barbara asked, how do you want your hair? Well, a little off here, a little off there, that'd be okay. Yeah, zoom, 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 you know, and it's all gone. So there we are in our fatigues, and here comes out the colonel, all of the general of the base, not the colonel, sorry, general of the base, and he's got his uniform on, and he's got all of his ribbons on, and he has his stars on, and he comes out there and gives us a welcoming orientation. But he said something that I will never forget, which follows right along with this verse here. He says, a wise man learns from his mistakes. True. But a wiser man learns from the mistakes of others. That always stuck with me. And I think it helped me avoid some situations even in the service. All right. So hear advice and receive instruction so that you may be wise in your latter years. There are many purposes in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord shall stand. Always remember that. Just because you go to a church does not mean that the laws of God only apply to those in that church or other churches. See, the laws of God apply to everyone, everywhere, at all times. So if you can keep that in mind, that'll help you greatly. Now let's look at some other Proverbs. Come over here to Proverbs 26. We'll spend most of the time in the book of Proverbs. Okay? Proverbs 26 and verse 10. Proverbs 26 and verse 10, 790. The great God who formed all things both rewards the fool and rewards the transgressors. They all have their reward. What is their reward? Trouble, anguish, what is that? What is that song? Woe, agony, and, you know, they used to, on Hee Haw, they used to sing, woe, agony, and all of that on Hee Haw. Yeah, that's true.
You grew up in Hee Haw.
Okay. Just like the good old moonshiner, he makes his own moonshine. When he gets old, woe, agony, arthritis, missing teeth, and all of that come upon him. But that white lightning was sure good when it went down. You know, see? All right. Happens to all. He blesses those otherwise, too. Okay. Let's come here to Proverbs 18, verse 2. Proverbs 18 and verse 2. Now, you've heard the old saying, and a lot of people say when they're all mixed up and frustrated and their minds are all scrambled and don't know what is right and wrong, they say, well, I've got to find myself. Well, you already found yourself. You're right in your skin. See? Now you need to know, what do you do with self? Okay? So Proverbs 18 and verse 2. A fool has no delight in understanding because he wants to go fool around, do stupid things. Yeah, come on, let's have some fun. Okay. But only that his heart may discover itself. Good proverb. But what you need to do is find God. That's what you need to do. All right, let's come down here to Proverbs 13. Let's go to the next track, please.